On today's episode of Me and Larry Sandwich, we got returning guest Dave, and we'll be talking about
conflicts of interest
some ethical stuff. Like, I don't, you know, and we definitely will not be talking
about Pod Bros at night.
No, we won't be talking about that. No.
What about After Dark?
Maybe. Welcome to Me and Larry Sandwich. Today, we have Dave from Turtle Trinkets. Your catchline being,
I don't have one. Oh, you need to develop one, man.
And believe William, because he's from
allaboutwilliam.com.
Although things do get a little crazy when Mark Monster is around, because he's from
crazymark.com.
And I'm Scott Toden Myali from Toden.com and YouTube.com/ToadenK. Or you always find us at Media Litter Sandwich, because that's what you're watching or listening to, Media Litter Sandwich. Now, Dave, he's been on the show before. He's also a reporter, which is your day job. Is that what you would consider it?
I do it a lot at night, so I'm not sure.
So you do your hobby day job and then your sort of your career as a night job.
Well, you know, as a journalist, you work when the news happens. You can't work 9 to 5. Mm-hmm. So I do both whenever I'm not doing the other.
Okay, so the topic we're thinking about, you know, today is conflicts of interest, and of course that has to do with a lot of ethics and morality. All of us do different conventions and freelance work, or we might work different events. So this does come into play a lot of times, whether if you're just a photographer or, you know, a photographer at an event that happens to have a day job, or you're a reporter that also sells stuff at cons.
True. I don't know if you want me to just talk about the issue at hand, or if you have specific questions.
When someone comes up to you and says, oh, is there any conflict of interest here? What are your first thoughts?
Well, typically, you know, the only way it would be a conflict of interest necessarily mm-hmm. is one, if I'm setting up at a show within the coverage area where I work, and two, if I'm giving them any special coverage that I wouldn't otherwise if I wasn't a member of the show as well. Mm-hmm. And personally, I have a strong set of morals. I wouldn't do that. However, I cover a lot of things. So, like, at Current, I set up at a vendor show every Friday. I don't personally go because I work Fridays during the day, but my parents go set up. They help me run the business. But it is my business. It's got my name on it. It's in a city I cover. And they do get coverage of events that happen at this vendor show every week. Mm-hmm. And I know I'm being a little vague, but I don't want to mention city names or the name of the show because, again, I don't want to give extra coverage.
Absolutely.
But it's the largest city I cover. Mm-hmm. And because of that, they get more coverage than other similar events in other cities. Has nothing to do with my business being there. And they actually probably get less coverage this year than they have last year because I'm being extra sensitive to make sure I'm not making it appear like I'm giving them extra coverage.
Right. I mean, I used to work for a university, and a couple of the people that work there that put on events or maybe organizations used to ask me to go there and cover it. I'm like, oh, well, I can't do it for this department. The department doesn't really do that. Like, no, not the department. For a YouTube channel. We want you to come out and do video for your YouTube channel. And, you know, I would have to ask people, is this a conflict of interest? And people are like, no, it's not really a conflict of interest. You know, and then I got to reach my own ethics. You know, and sometimes to me, it would appear to be a conflict of interest.
And the appearance sometimes is worse than actuality.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And that's why, you know, especially in the region we're in, I'm sure most of your viewers know where you're at. But again, I'm not going to...
Detroit!
And I work at a local newspaper here, not mm-hmm. one of the big two. Well, not one of the big two in Detroit. It is the biggest one in the area I'm in. But yeah. I forgot where I was going with this.
You're talking about, hippopotami, or were we talking about watermelons?
The appearance of improprieties, yes. Yeah. There are several, I cover several cities throughout my job at the newspaper, and I set up at shows in some of these cities, mainly because I know where the shows are because I'm around. Mm-hmm. But I always make sure I have at least one other person with me running a booth. And if there's any city officials, anything like that, that want to shop at the booth, I make sure any transaction goes through whoever's with me, be it my parents, an assistant, whatever.
Right.
For the simple fact of, it's perfectly fine for me to sell anybody I want anything, but I don't want somebody who maybe doesn't like me or whatever to maybe snap a cell phone picture of the mayor handing me a $20 bill.
Right.
And out of context, it gets shared with somebody in my corporate world and be like, look, the mayor of, you know, X city just handed your reporter $20, and then next week they wrote a fluff piece.
We're going to have to call Batman on that one.
Which, by the way, I never necessarily write a fluff piece. But
right. You're accepted kickbacks for the Gotham newspaper.
There are some pieces that aren't necessarily hard-hitting news. Like if you're going to cover a festival or something.
We know you want Harvey Dent for president. Come on.
I do have buttons that say I support Harvey Dent from when The Dark Knight came out.
Ooh.
I attended several campaign rallies around the state.
I remember those. Right.
So as a reporter, are there times where you see things going on and like, wow, that looks like a conflict of interest?
Well, again, you know, conflict of interest is okay, actually,
mm-hmm.
depending on the on what it is. As long as everybody all the way around knows about it. You know, it's not necessarily a conflict if I do work for a place I cover.
Right.
As long as my boss at the day job knows about it and is okay with it.
Well, not necessarily you. I'm trying to find, like, another good example.
Right. Well,
one example would be, and I have no proof of this, but one of the cities, doesn't matter where it is, but one of the local cities around where we are, I used to hear rumors that the city engineer, when they would have to fix up sidewalks, streets, or whatever, would hire his own company or his brother's company or something like that.
Hey, I read about that one in the Inquirer too, Toden.
No, actually, and I'm not sure what city you're talking about, but there has been a city where that mm-hmm. was alleged to have happened. It wasn't a city that I or my organization cover.
Okay.
But there were people involved that we had covered that had been officials in other cities and that lived here. But and basically with that, it was a pretty complex matter, and the feds actually got it called in.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the guy was running the public works department.
Right.
And he would hire a company that was run by his brother-in-law to come in and clear, like, okay, we've got 20 lots in the city that have debris and garbage where they've been vacant properties, and we want to clean up the city. So he would hire his company, and they paid them probably more than they should have to clean the property. But all they would do is pick it up and go dump it on another vacant property somewhere in the city. And then 6 months later, they'd be hired to clean those lots. Like, so they weren't removing the debris. They were just moving it to a different spot in the city.
Mm-hmm.
And they did this for like 12 years.
Oh, man, you can figure out a better way to do it, because out of the country, like in Haiti, they just get a goat.
Oh. Well, this was like large debris. Not
yeah, large.
Right. Okay, then they get two goats.
Well, they just move it from one lot to the next.
It's, yeah,
they need that the goat. Then you never need the vet.
So these things get very complicated and could be hard to prove, because you got to follow through every single strand. Now, when we're talking about ethics on the outside and the way things look, then we're talking about a little different,
right?
Of
and
sorry, turn. You mind turning off your yep. volume there?
Speaking of ethics, that's why they take care of the goat. They bathe the goat and they make sure it's looking good for passersby.
Yeah, but we're in Metro Detroit. There is no goat.
Are we
unless
sure?
Unless you're talking about me, you know, the greatest of all time.
Oh,
nice. You know, one instance I saw where they had permission to do this. I used to go to a lot of film festivals, and I'm not okay. naming any film festivals. I might have even told this story before. I don't remember. But one of the film festivals that I know about and I went to, the main organizer put their own film into the film festival, and it was the main event. And there's also been times where they would have their own stuff in, like, competition, such
as... Well, that was going to be my question. Was it a competitive festival, or was it just for display?
Parts of it, one year, it was a competitive festival, yes.
Hey, wait a minute. Don't all film producers do that?
No.
Just the
good not ones. All film
from
producers,
my knowledge.
Not, just the good ones. Not all film producers create their own film festivals. So if so, we would have so many film festivals. We wouldn't know what to do with.
I think he's talking about Robert Redford.
Oh,
but what that was one of the things that I've noticed, and you know, I asked the sponsor or whatever that had, you know, the person that was paying me to work the event. Well, no, it wasn't, but it was, you know, whatever. I asked a prominent figure of there, and they said no, they don't think it is. So I asked another person that has been involved with lots of film festivals. And he's like, you know, a lot of people do that, and it's just a question of ethics.
Okay. Well, let me give you a hypothetical, and it may or may not have happened.
Right.
But I guess that's the definition of hypothetical. But a company that I worked for in the past wanted to expand their website offerings and start doing live video for sports and stuff. Mm-hmm. Before I got into the news industry. Well, not before, but before I got into the news industry where I'm at now, I spent years doing color commentary and producing of sports. Mm-hmm. So this company, and at the company I was at, I was not a sports writer, but I had years of sports experience. They asked me to do color commentary on their internet streams, which was outside of my normal work scope of my job,
right?
And for a different department. And when I asked them if they could approve overtime, they told me no. So they weren't going to change my work schedule. I was asked if I would do this as a favor to the sports people, which at the time there was a little bit of conflict, and I was like, no, I don't want to do unpaid overtime on Friday nights doing nine. I don't want to commit to 9 weeks in a row of football when I'm not going to get paid.
Right.
And they're like, okay, well, since you can't do it, can you suggest people we could hire? Which was part of my duties at the time was hiring for video production. Mm-hmm. So I kind of had to help with the video side of this anyway. But I didn't actually have to go because we were hiring a company to do the live streaming. Our own employees weren't doing it.
Okay.
So my next question to them was like, well, you can't approve overtime. Could you hire me as a freelancer through the budget of a different department? And they told me no again because we can't hire freelance workers that already work here.
Right.
So
I've ran into the same thing at previous.
Well,
jobs.
I still had my business license from a business I had run before, and I asked them if they would have any qualms with hiring a business that I owned to do the color commentary. Like they would contract with the business, and the business would assign whoever we wanted to do the work as long as they were happy with the work, and they agreed. And so my business partner came in and signed all the contracts, and then I assigned myself as the owner of the business. I assigned myself to do the color commentary.
You know, with that, I was just wondering, are you sure with all this they're trying to get you to bring in someone you know? Was there a sign that said no goats allowed?
Well, there was the wink and the nod agreement that they absolutely knew it was going to be me, and because they wanted me. And because, one, I already represented this organization, so they knew there wasn't going to be a problem with somebody that didn't work there representing them poorly. Mm-hmm. But, and they knew what was happening. It wasn't a secret. There was people from the place I worked at that were there every week. It was no secret.
Right.
But they actually paid me less than we would have paid other contractors because I gave them a deal on the contract. But they hired a legitimate business, and I brought in myself and a partner who had 12 years experience each. They got the product they wanted, they got the person they wanted, and they followed all their corporate laws, all their corporate rules. Mm-hmm. But I still was able to do the work even though I was told no. Like,
right. See, so you know, and this is one of the things, you know, I'm just going to recap a little bit because it got a little bit...
Corpulent law.
So they wanted you to do a voiceover, and since you couldn't do the voiceover since you worked for the company, they contracted, or, you know, allegedly, hypothetically, all that stuff, this company that you already worked for wanted you to do a voiceover, but they could not pay you the overtime, so they paid for a company that you own... which has legitimate employees.
And they knew ahead of time when they hired me that this company existed.
Right.
And when they hired my company for this project, they knew it was me.
Right. And they're all aware of this and, you know, and were able to get you to do the voiceover or to do the work through your own company, which you had, you know, which they knew about it and right. it was signed off. That was not a
conflict of interest. But the check went to the company, not to Dave.
Right. What, you know, and that's also for other business reasons, you know, corporate reasons and tax reasons.
Right.
That's why. So, of course, the question to the audience is, you know, is this just a way around, you know, what do you think? Is this unethical, even though it's who they wanted, and or is it just unethical for the company not paying him overtime?
The reason I was okay with that specific situation is because everybody from the state level down pretty much signed off on it.
Right.
Like, everybody knew it. There was no hiding it. There was no... Mm-hmm. There was everything was completely above board.
It was their way to be able to legally have you do something without it going over a certain amount of hours
right.
and having to deal with other things. Yeah, they're employing a company that you that happen to be a part of and freelancing with and have permission from Company A to work with Company B.
And vice versa, this very mm-hmm. similar thing happened at the company I'm at now, and they said no.
Mm-hmm.
Because they said it's in violation of the spirit of the rule.
Right, oh. And that makes sense. It's really up to personal interpretation, ethics, morals, and I'm sure there's other people that look at it, it's like, what ethics? They wanted him to do a job, they found a workaround.
Right.
You know, that, you know, you're not, you know, we're talking about doing some work that they want you to do anyways. We're not talking about, you know, we're not talking about doing something underhanded or trickery, you know, or something really illegal. It's just a loophole so they wouldn't have to pay
right.
you overtime.
And, you know, there is no law against me working anywhere I want outside of the hours I already work. Mm-hmm. For the company I'm at,
especially when they know about it. When I got hired at my current day job, I signed papers saying, you know, yes, I work on this YouTube channel. It will not be a conflict of interest under these areas, and I will not be using company equipment, company time, things like that. A standard kind of a waiver thing saying
right.
you're not going to cheat on your job. You know, you're not, it's not going to take away from my day job.
Right. And anybody that works in an industry where there are side jobs like that mm-hmm. has probably similar contracts and similar agreements. Not at the company I'm at now, but at previous companies when I've hired on, I've had to let them know everywhere I freelance for at the time
mm-hmm.
because I can't freelance for a competitor. But that way, if my name, because, you know, in journalism, your name pops up on almost everything.
Right.
So it's like, well, we want to know where your name's going to pop up when you're not here.
Hmm.
Like, you know, are you still going to write for, you know, National Geographic? Are we going to, not that I ever did, but.
Right.
Like, are we still going to see your name pop up in National Geographic? They're not a competitor. You can. Hmm. But you have to tell us about it ahead of time or you're in trouble.
Right. Now, Mark, my next question is to you. You host Comic Cons, you host conventions, and a lot of times for that you'll have your booth and you'll have do your TV show, which we were on the other day, I might add. Do you feel like any part of that might be unethical because, you know, some of these jobs you're being paid to host, but at the same time you're using the same footage for your show?
Well, you could ask yourself the similar question. You mm-hmm. do this as an audio podcast and as a YouTube show.
Yep.
Is it a conflict?
No, because I own them both, and although I am partnered with Pod Bros, John, who owns Pod Bros, we have had lengthy discussions whether or not, you know, he's like, you have to be a Pod Bros exclusive. We have had at length discussions, what does exclusive mean? Are we talking about only the audio version? Are we talking about, in his version, in his words, that just means no other audio network. It can be on several platforms, but not another podcast network, at least at the time of this recording. YouTube is not technically a audio podcast network, and no, it's just another platform. So I'm allowed to do that.
along with get my own advertising revenue. If there's sponsors through me, that is perfectly fine. If I decide to put this on other platforms, such of course as iTunes, Stitcher, Podbean, which we're on all of those, that is perfectly fine. In fact, if we weren't already seeding through those, Podbros would provide us with that service. Of course, it would be under their name versus under our name, which it is currently. You know, but the key thing is we've talked about it. We've brought it up. We've talked about it on the podcast with right. John. You know, we didn't hide any of those things. You know, now I guess your question is more or less, is it a conflict that I go to events under one thing, such as they invite us as a podcast, and I still cover it for my other YouTube channel? They know about it in advance. Now, if I would, you know, I don't know where I'm taking advantage of anything, as long as people know in advance. What would be me taking advantage of it? Let's say if I was also being paid on top of other things, let's say I was paid as the audiovisual guy or I'm doing sound.
Right.
Maybe then I'm taking advantage. Or if it's a con that I am volunteering for, you know, such as there's a con which I organized a bunch of hours and I also hosted and moderated several panels. Now, was I taking over that position? Was that a conflict of interest? Well, I wasn't getting paid as a panelist. I wasn't getting paid as an organizer. But if I was, well, then maybe that would be a conflict of interest, or just a morality type thing.
Well, and again, as long as you had were upfront about it ahead of time and they knew about it and were okay with it. Like, the only morally gray areas there are would be if you're brought in as a podcaster and you were told, no, we're not bringing in any YouTubers, and then you cover both anyway. Without them knowing, without, you know, they've already told you, no, you can't be here because you're on YouTube. Mm-hmm. And then you find a different way to come in and still do exactly what you were going to do before.
Well, I mean, I guess you could say, because we've covered cons. There was one con where they said if you're a, they're turning down portrait photographers for press passes.
Yep.
Which all three of us were at. And all, you know, William could not get a press pass because you're mostly a portrait photographer.
Yep.
Now, if I took portrait photography while I was there as a videographer, I don't think that was a conflict of interest and though I didn't do it, but it was kind of an exclusive, hey, if you're only here for portrait, we have enough people. But if you're doing dual purposes or triple purposes, because you're doing portraits, of course, you know, as well, because that was a part of your job. Representing a news source.
Right. Well, and you can define portrait different ways.
Right.
Like, to me, portrait photography means you're putting somebody in a studio and you're taking headshots or body shots. It's right. not.
And I what wasn't you would do doing that. You know, we're just saying, oh, that's a really cool costume. Let me take a look. You're not
right.
trying to get people to pay. Oh, yeah, that's a stipulation, a lot of press passes. William, why don't you tell us about that?
The most common stipulation is if you get a press pass and you're a photographer, you're not going to sell your services in the con. If you wanted to sell your services, you had to purchase a ticket, which I understand. That was actually in my rejection email. It was a nice little, we've had problems in the past of portrait photographers or just photographers.
So, William, you're saying that no, you couldn't give them a business card?
What?
In other words, you'd go to a
con. No, they were having problems with people actually charging for their services at the con under a press pass, which is against the rules of the press pass.
You are there to cover the event. So here's a press pass. You
can okay, get it for so free. It's just, yeah.
You're covering our
okay,
event.
Okay, where I can
like,
see.
I'm sorry, I can't take your, you know, I could take your picture, but
you can still
I'm
going to
need this much
card.
Money because we're going to take some headshots, you know, we're going to take this stuff, and I'll sell you those prints.
And I know exactly what kind you're referring to, obviously, and we all do, and your viewers probably do too, if they think about it for a second. Remember, we're in the Motor City.
Right. But I've also seen, like, a good friend of mine will go to a public event, and he will do something similar. He will go through it. He's not covering it
for a news source or for his website. He's there just for portraits, and he'll take people's pictures, and he'll put them up there. If you want that copy without his waterprint, if you want a high res, you have to pay for it.
Sure.
You know, and now if he did that at a convention or otherwise not, you know, something on private grounds, because a convention, even though people consider it a public event that you can buy tickets to, legally it's not public because you're indoors, you're at a private ground, it's, you have to buy a ticket for, you know, it's weird how terms change slightly like that. If he's there under a press pass, he cannot do the same thing. He would have to purchase or even just rent the booth.
Right. Well, what I was getting at with that same convention, which I've been covering for years, they changed their policies this year. And they tried to adhere to that they own all of my photos, even though I was there as working media.
Hmm.
So, that, you know, that we own all photography done, blah, blah, blah. You can't sell it or profit from it. And, like, I in kind responded to the person's like, well, one, my company will profit from it just from the fact you're letting me in the door, because we're going to put it in our newspaper and we sell the newspaper.
Correct.
We sell advertisements, we sell actual copies of the paper, like, we are profiting from it.
Right. They gave press passes to well-known convention goers, way more well-known than me. I'm not, you know, making myself a, other, you know, I met some great YouTubers there that had press passes, because that's what one of the things they do. They go to a ton of cons all over the country, and he benefits from it. He profits from it through people that go to his YouTube channel through, because of his sponsors and his, you know, and his ad revenue. That's how he makes a living.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's, you know, you gave him a press pass because he's promoting your event.
Right.
You can't say you can't profit from this, because that's, or else why would he go?
Right.
Why would the newspaper send anybody? And
not only did they say, not only did they try to say we couldn't profit from it, they tried to say they own the work. And I was like, one, if I'm here as an official representative of my company owns the work because they're paying me.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm here as Dave the photographer, I own the work because it's mine. At no point, unless you're paying me to be here yourself for the weekend, do you own my work.
Correct.
Like, now, if you want to pay me to come as a photographer, I can tell the newspaper, no, I can't work for you this weekend, as is my right working there,
mm-hmm.
and you can pay me to come to your show and be a photographer. I'll bring my own equipment, not stuff owned by the company, and at the end of the weekend, I'll give you the memory cards if that's what you want, or I'll edit them and do whatever, but that's the only way you own my photos from the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Under no other circumstances outside of you paying me do you own my work ever.
Yeah, and I do know some cons what they'll ask for is they'll ask, hey, look, if you share our photos, we request permission to be able to use them for promotions. Yeah. Not saying they own the work, all they're doing is asking for permission to use.
Well, one of the press passes that I got for, I forget what con it was, in the agreement, it actually stated that the work was mine, but I granted them a non-exclusive license to use it for use my work for promotional.
Yeah, and that's what he was saying.
Yeah.
And that's pretty standard.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, so let's wrap up here a little bit. When it comes to conflict of interest, things can get very crazy. It's not a white and black line. The only way you can really say this is right, this is wrong, is if you're profiting from, if you're working both jobs at the same time.
It also involved are the loyalties between the companies, and something I found that though you might be confused at what's going on down there at the level of, oh no, what's conflict of interest? Keep in mind, if you're working for someone up on an upper level, somebody up there may have done something to offend somebody else, and unfortunately you're just the pawn in the event.
Well, if it's all just because you offended somebody, that has, that I don't know if that really has
that has nothing to do with you. Conflict of interest can go between companies much higher and much deeper than just a couple people at an event, or just like I said, if you're there taking photos, if you're there recording, whatsoever, if you're working for a larger entity, there are powers beyond you that will determine your fate.
Okay, so to wrap up and try to simplify this, There, when it comes to conflict of interest, there is no real black and white unless it's truly, wow, how can you do this and that? And that may not even still be black and white. That just might be an appearance of conflict of interest. Dave, thank you so much for being here. I know this conversation became a little bit intricate here, dealing with it. It just has to do with a lot of people's own personal morals and ethics, or the companies that you're representing. Their exactly. morals and ethics and things that they just like, I'm not sure if that's right or not.
Well, and what it boils down to, very simply, I always joke, mm-hmm. like, it's better to ask forgiveness than permission. That may work well in your personal life, but in a professional setting, ask permission first.
Transparency, yes. disclosure, they go a long way.
Exactly.
And we've talked about that on the show. Just asking permission, you know, will let you go from doing what everyone else is doing to maybe going that one step further and doing some extra stuff and being allowed to do it just because you asked permission. You're not sneaking around. Again, transparency. Yep. And just asking permission. I forgot what the other word was. thank you for being here. Where can people find you, Dave?
Well, my Facebook page for my business is facebook.com/turtletrinketsjewelry. Otherwise, if you Google my name, you can find me professionally. But again, I don't really want to promote that because okay. I'm told I shouldn't.
And we have Mark Monster from?
CrazyMark.com.
And we have William from?
AllAboutWilliam.com.
And I'm Scotty Miley, better known as Toden. You can find me at Toden.com and YouTube.com/ToadenK. And you'll be able to find us at BolaCon on July
14th, 15th, and 16th.
All four of us yay. There.
And
come and ask Dave if he's on the job or not.
and actually, I'm sorry, I know you're wrapping up, but that's another idea of, you know, mixed work.
Mm-hmm.
The promoters there live in one of the cities my newspaper covers, so I will be writing a story about the show.
Okay.
And I will be at the show as a vendor with my business.
Mm. Okay.
But my boss knows both of these things and is okay with it.
There we go. There, transparency, asking permission. And on that Saturday night on the 15th, we'll also be at Motor City SteamCon. Yep. Thank you for watching. Thank you for listening. And I hope you enjoyed our discussion.
See ya.